I think that's nuts.
Big Storm Beer is the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. You have to try Big Storm this holiday season. Bring it to your family. You'll be a hero. Tropic Pressure, Florida Ale, Bromosa, the Great Tangerine IPA, Wavemaker Amber Ale, Palm Bender, Gulf Coast IPA. There are so many great Big Storm beers, which is Florida's best craft beer. Get to BigStormBrewery.com to find Big Storm beer near you.
There's no excuses. Zero excuses for not lighting up the Vikings on Sunday. Brady loves it. It's his bread and butter. Arian says it, but it isn't happening.
Buccaneers fans, we are here. The stretch run of this season, the bye week is done. The sage of Tampa Bay sports is all fired up. He is jacked up. He has been covering the NFL for a cool 77 years. He's the king of Pasco County, the custodian of Canton, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, our Uncle Ira, Ira Kaufman. On the Ira Kaufman Podcast, I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. The decamper of JoeBucksFan.com is here. Four games to go. Ira, how are you? Are you excited? How you feeling? What's going on?
Refreshed, gentlemen. It was the pause that refreshes. But I'm a little nervous and anxious on two fronts. One, how will the Bucks respond in the fourth quarter of this season with the playoffs on the line coming off a bye week? Number two, will Rondé Barber make the cut from 25 to 15? And will I have a chance to make the case for Rondé Barber in front of 45 selectors that now include Tony Dungy and Bill Polian? And I am very eager to do so. But my number one concern is, have the Bucks learned enough about themselves going forward that they can approach this final month with some passion and some intelligent football? And most of all, guys, remember, you got a running back averaging 5 yards a carry. How about using them a little bit?
I got to run this past you, Ira. I got to run this past you. If you stop Dalvin Cook, you pretty much stop the Vikings. That's really how it goes. And I know we've talked about the run defense. It is now back to being number one in the NFL. Number one, 3.3 yards a carry, the fewest number of yards. And Dalvin Cook is on pace, believe it or not, to have more touches this season than Adrian Peterson ever did. And he was arguably one of the big workhorse backs in the modern history of the NFL. He's been slowing down. His production's been slowing down. He got all testy with reporters when they asked him sort of about overuse. Do you think the Bucs are catching Dalvin Cook at the right time? What's your mindset on whether they can actually stop him, guys?
Well, if I was Mike Zimmer, I'd ride Dalvin Cook, too. You know, Kirk Cousins is an average quarterback. He's not a bad quarterback. But, you know, he ranks 15th in the league. And Cook's the guy. He gets 25, 30 carries. Steve, that was good research on your part, because let's not forget, Adrian Peterson was the MVP of this league 1 year. And that is very, very rare for anybody that doesn't play the quarterback position. Adrian Peterson got it. And here Cook's on pace to get more carries than Peterson had in that particular year. That is very, very impressive. Guys, I'm not that worried about Cook consistently gouging the Bucks on the ground. He might be able to hurt them with a couple of screen passes, but, you know, the Buck pass defensively, that's the thorn in my side. The four-man pass rush, that's not getting there. The dropping back in your percentage of blitzing, the poor coverage in the secondary. And Lee, Buck fans are about to find out what I learned all season long. And I drafted this guy on draft night in fantasy, Justin Jefferson. Lee, he's a rookie out of LSU, and I drafted him, and he's been fantastic all season. Feeling's good, but this guy's better. And I think once they establish that they can stop Cook on the ground, which I'm fairly confident they can do, Lee, I don't have a lot of confidence that they can stop Thielen, Jefferson, and Kirk Cousins. Until they show me they can, Lee, I'm skeptical.
I'm in the same boat, Ira. I know people are mocking the Vikings, making fun of the Vikings. Oh, they're a bad team. Oh, they had to struggle with the Jags. We're talking about the Bucks here, people. We're not talking about the Steelers or the Ravens, or even the Rams, or the Chiefs. We're talking about the Bucks here. And the Bucs last couple games sure looked like Lovie Smith was taking over that defense again when it came to pass defense. And for those who chortle about and chuckle and make fun of Kirk Cousins, I just have three words for you. You like that? I was an eyewitness for that. Say what you will about me. Maybe like some commenter on Joe Bucs fan, he's brand new. He says he's a Patriots fan. He's like, you know, how can you be a Bucs fan? You're so negative. Have you watched this team for the last 13 years, pal? You'd be suspicious, too. You'd be cynical, too. I'm absolutely in your same boat, Ira. This is a dangerous, dangerous, dangerous game that I don't like the matchup outside of Dalvin Cook. I don't like the matchup on this Vikings offense, Bucs defense. Not passing-wise. I don't like it at all. I'm scared to death. And the way the Bucs played in November and the way that pass defense played the past couple of games, ooh, man, I don't know.
You know, Steve, I think Lee is not alone. Far from it, Steve. He talks for a lot of Buc Nation. Steve, Buc fans have a lot of trepidation. A lot of it is because of past history. And Lee's absolutely right about this. If this was the team, if this is a team that makes the playoffs, you know, 5 out of the last 7 years, Buc fans wouldn't feel like that, being 7-5 going into the final quarter of the season against, you know, mediocre opponents. And that's being kind. But Steve, given the history and the way they just played in 3 out of the last 4 games, there's every reason to be a little fearful. They're 6.5-point favorites. Steve, the Bucs have a better team. They have more talent. But I'm not sure that's going to show up on Sunday, Steve. How do you look at this game?
It's a tough game. It's not a rollover game. It's essentially a playoff game is really what it is. It's a playoff game. If the Vikings lose, they're probably toast. And if the Bucs win, they're basically guaranteed in because all the computer models everywhere are showing that 9-7 is going to make it in the playoffs this year. And the Bucs just got another boost on that with the 49ers losing, and of course, Arizona has a bad
losing.
And of course, if the Vikings lose, they go to 6-7, and now the Bears are out. So the Bucs would really be in great shape if they win, but I can't blame anybody for being skeptical. Look, Ira, if they lose this game, it's 4 in a row at home. It's another year, despite Tom Brady and second year of Arians and all this talent, that they wouldn't even be better than 500 at home. It's a scary proposition. You know, that said, personally, you know, I think the Bucs are more talented. So I just think you know, they have the leg up.
You know, Lee, Steve mentioned it in passing, and it's very true. I don't think the Bucs are going to lose, Lee, but if they do, all of a sudden the Vikings vault over them. They got the same record, but they own the tiebreaker. Now, Lee, the Bucs are now fighting for the final wild card spot. And if Arizona wins this weekend, they will match the Bucs at 7-6, assuming the Bucs lose. And now it's a dogfight, Lee. The Bucs can avoid all that, Mr. DeKemper, by beating the Vikings like the odds makers think they will. They can end this nonsense.
Yeah. You know what? If the Bucs lose, it opens up a Pandora's box in more ways than one. It opens up all kinds of stuff. Steve kind of touched upon one. Now you have yet again the Denver Depression. You got this all-star team, and you still can't win at home. And not only does it start the dogfight for the playoffs, here comes Washington, by the way. And then this carries over to the offseason with all the free agents you have and all these rumors swirling about Arians. Not exactly a golden moment for the franchise. They lose this game.
Ira,
you know,
Ira, I got a hard question for both of you guys. Hard question. Okay. First, I want to remind everybody, though, that if you're shopping for a truck, used vehicle, new crossover, you want an SUV, whatever it is, you want to drive a cherry red Ford Escape 2020 luxury line like Ira Kaufman, you go to Bill Curry Ford and you contact Sean Sullivan, the general manager. Not only will he personally help you, but you're going to get a Joe Bucs fan discount. You're going to get their nationwide lifetime warranty on new and pre-owned vehicles. And you can even get no payments until the summer of 2021. The end of the year, everybody knows this is the best time to buy. but really the best place to buy, and that's what's most important and what separates everything, is that Bill Curry Ford, family owned. We know the Curry family. We know Sean Sullivan very well. We're all customers. So you got to get there. We'll talk about them later, Ira, but BillCurryFord.com is where everybody has to shop. Remember, General Manager Sean Sullivan, he is your personal guide online, email, in person. He will help you any possible way he can at Bill Curry Ford. Now, the tough question, Ira, is this. Tough question, Lee. I want both of your answers. If the Buccaneers lose on Sunday and they win the rest of the games, so they finish 10-6, and then they lose a playoff game on the road, wherever it might be, Seattle, whatever, is that a failed season? You lose to the Vikings, you go 10-6, you lose in the playoffs, you're 4-4 at home, you didn't get the job done at the end of the season. Is that a failed season?
No. I think, Lee, I think the 10 wins is not a failed season because I think it matches what, Lee, you might have picked 10. So in that respect, no. But, Lee, not winning a playoff game, one damn playoff game in a year where home field doesn't mean that much, Lee. I don't care that you're a wild card. What a great year to be a wild card, Lee. You're going to pick one. And Arians has experience in 05, the Steelers, wild card. They end up winning it all. They won the Super Bowl. On the road, they won three road games before getting to the Super Bowl. So Arians has been through it. Lee, I got to say flatly, you make the playoffs, but you don't win a playoff game. That's a disappointing season given the Bucs situation.
I agree with the disappointing. Absolutely, I agree. It's disappointing. I wouldn't call it failed. I mean, turn the clock back a year, and you could say to Bucs fandom, would a playoff appearance next year be a good season? Would that be successful? I think you'd probably get 98% would say yeah. And here we are acting like, oh, woe was the Bucs. They lost a playoff game. No, I obviously, if you get Tom Brady, the Bucs and certain people, I'm sure, at One Buck Palace, their goal was Super Bowl. That was their goal, to get to the Super Bowl. In that respect, it would be a failed season. But overall, as bad as this franchise has been, and they make the playoffs, I can't consider that a failed season. Disappointing, of course. Failed, no.
Sage, looking ahead to the Vikings game, and it's kind of a fun week for us this week on the podcast because we don't have a game to look back on. We could just really dial in and horn in on the Vikings. I've watched their last three games now. I got to ask you this, Ira, another hard question or firm question. The Buccaneers, at the end of this week, which ends tonight, they're going to have the eighth leading passer in the NFL. They're going to have a fully healthy offensive line. They've got the fourth leading rusher in Ronald Jones. They got arguably the most weapons, probably top 10 in the history of the NFL as far as pass-catching targets, if you really lay it out. So, and you got a Vikings defense that doesn't rush the passer very well at all. Is there any reason that this team should not put up four touchdowns, 28, 31, 34 points, and just finally win the way a lot of people envisioned them winning this year, which was late in the year, putting up 30 on everybody and overcoming their defense that helped them out early and just winning like that with putting up points?
I get your drift, Steve. This should be a game like the Raiders game, like the second Panthers game. Big, big points. In theory. Lee, what's the problem? Well, when kickoff approaches, Lee, and maybe it'll help that this is 1 o'clock instead of, 8:15 or 4:30. But when the whistle blows, they're not ready. They're not ready on defense. They're not ready on offense. They're not ready. And falling into these holes and making it close. And Lee, even Derek Brooks said, you know, the final score of that Chiefs game, if you look at it 3 years later and you don't remember the game, they lost by 3 points to the defending champion. Derek Brooks said the final score was not indicative of that game. That game wasn't that close. And if Derek Brooks is saying it, you know it's true about his favorite football team. So, Lee, yeah, they got all these weapons. They're healthy. Lee, they're as healthy as any team in this league, especially on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, who's down? They got all their offensive linemen. They got their receivers. They got their tight ends. Most importantly, they got Brady. They got Ronald Jones. Wait, nobody's hurt. You're coming off a bye week. So what I'm saying, the long way around it is, there's no excuses, zero excuses for not lighting up the Vikings on Sunday.
I agree. And in the month of November, there was no such thing as a fast start with the Bucs. They scored one touchdown in the first quarter in five games. They had five games in November. One touchdown. And they won that game. But other than that, they were either shut out or they had a field goal only. To me, that's your game plan's not sharp. And obviously, defensively, the last couple of games, they've been terrible to start out the game. There again, game plan. You know, okay, you adjusted. You adjusted too late, but you adjusted. But why did you adjust? Because your game plan was bad. You don't adjust because the game plan's working. So that right there falls on Todd Bowles. Why is he coming up with bad game plans? What's he not scouting right? What are his assistants not catching and breaking down film? A lot of questions there, but at the end of the day, that's on Todd Bowles' desk.
You know, Sage, we all need a game plan for a disaster, and that's why Florida's Elite Restoration is in all of our computers and phones. In case something happens, we are going to floridaseliterestoration.com. They are mold remediation specialists, licensed. They're your first call if you see water or mold in your home, but they handle all disasters, and they're a great local company. We know them personally, and they're going to give you that personal caring service, and they're experts in what they do. Floridaseliterestoration.com. That's the website. 24/7, you can call them, and they're going to respond. Even if it's 3 a.m, they're going to respond within 2 hours, if not immediately. So Florida's Elite Restoration, we're proud to talk about them. And, you know, when your personal property is involved, your home, you want to work with honest people, and we can vouch for them, Florida's Elite Restoration. And they are going to be buying everybody a beer at Big Storm Brewery between noon and 1 prior to kickoff of the Bucs-Falcons game, our little fan appreciation day on December 20th, Sunday, Clearwater location, Big Storm Brewery. A lot more information will be coming, but we appreciate all they do for us, Ira. Florida's Elite Restoration. Call them first before you call your insurance company. They'll give you a free estimate, a free assessment, and it's going to help you out a lot.
You know, Steve, they've been very quick to abandon Ronald Jones, even though I believe Bruce Arians said he was proud of the way they stuck with the game plan against the Chiefs. I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that, Steve. Brooks says you chip away. You're down 17-0. 3 quarters left, you chip away. You keep your balance. So, Steve, the problem is we don't know who to blame. Buck fans, you know, they want to find a culprit here. Is it Arians? Is it Leftwich? Or is it Brady himself who wants to throw 45 or 50 balls? So it's a problem. They're out of whack. By the way, the Steelers have been out of whack recently. You got Roethlisberger throwing 50 balls a game, and that's not going to be a winning formula for Pittsburgh going forward. They got to let Jones touch the ball 20 times. Arian says it, but it isn't happening, Steve. It's not happening.
Hey, Ira, let me point out a little bit of irony, because, you know, I don't hesitate to disagree with Derek Brooks. He's more than just a guy, but he's still just a guy with an opinion, far more informed than our opinion. But why do you chip away if the game wasn't that close, Ira? Come on, you can't have it both ways. If you're saying Brooks says it wasn't that close, well, then what do you need to chip away for? You know, you have to catch up. So they have been getting away from Ronald Jones in general a little too early, and there's a lack of commitment there from the run game. Rojo himself was on NFL Network, and he was on with Andrew Siciliano, who floated to Rojo, just like laid it out very casually, said, you know, it seems like Bruce Arians is sending Tom Brady a message through the media by saying that you should be getting 20 touches, and do you think Tom Brady's getting that message? And Rojo's like, he didn't even flinch. He's like, oh, yeah, I think the message is getting through. Like, are we really at the point where Arians is sending messages to Tom Brady like that when they talk every day? And they're if that's actually happening, isn't that like some sort of strange dysfunction, Ira?
You know what? One of the problems, you know, and Lee, I think we can say this definitively now after 12 games. There's no beating around the bush. Lee, the Vikings have a complete back in Dalvin Cook. He's a complete back. He doesn't come off the field. He's not bad in pass protection. He's got decent hands. He can hurt you on a screen. And he doesn't come off the field. Now, Lee, the Bucs don't have that. They don't have it. Nobody's going to argue that Ronald Jones is a three-down back. The problem, Lee, is they don't have a third-down back. And as the season has progressed, Lee, it's becoming more and more of a problem. Fournette has not stepped up. We can't see McCoy. Vaughn is buried. And Lee, when it comes to third and five, Brady says, where's my James White? Where is this guy? And they don't have him, Lee, and it's a real problem.
But I gotta say this, Ira. When you have Antonio Brown, Hall of Fame talent, Mike Evans, potential Hall of Famer, Chris Godwin, one of the best wide receivers in the NFL, Rob Gronkowski, Hall of Fame tight end, why would you need to throw to a running back when you have all those guys?
I understand, but Lee, you know how NFL teams are, and they like to throw it to backs on third down. It's almost like an extended run, and it's a safe pass, Lee. It's a safe pass, those swing passes, and they're effective. You know, this guy on the Redskins caught 10 balls, and it helped him upset the Steelers. He's a running back, and he kept catching balls. So my final point, Steve, to this is Brady loves it. It's his bread and butter. 20 years in New England, he had a pattern. Steve, this is not something we're making up for Tom Brady. It's something he's very comfortable with. It comes natural to him. And he doesn't have anybody out of that backfield that he's got any confidence in right now.
Ira, you bring up Dalvin Cook in it. It's the elephant in the room. We might as well get it out of the way. You can't change history. But you know Bucs fans are thinking when they see Dalvin Cook, like,
yes,
okay, we drafted a tight end that through
yes
4 years has had a minimal impact, and they probably could have traded up to get Dalvin Cook in the second round, but instead got a safety who literally cannot stay healthy, literally, and I don't think he's going to play at all this year, and his days will be done with the Bucs. You just got to lay your face in your hands and struggle not to cry when you see that.
That's a great point, Lee. And Steve, you and I both know Dirk Koetter was fixated on O.J. Howard going into that draft. And Steve, how history could have looked a little bit different with Dalvin Cook in a Buck uniform.
Especially the way the Bucs fans were screaming for Dalvin Cook for months. Screaming. And they passed up two chances to get him. And here he is, you know, the focal point of a team, maybe in a playoff. And the Bucs still don't have that every down back.
Yeah, the Dalvin Cook story is a piece of Bucs history. It just really is, and it'll be on full display. It would be so Bucs to have Dalvin Cook beat them, but that's almost as good as, not quite, but almost as good as Matt Gay kicking the winning field goal a couple of weeks ago.
But it'd be much better.
But you know, when you mention Ira, when you mention all those offensive weapons, I have to ask myself, all that depth at receiver, couldn't we have gotten a little bit of depth at cornerback? The Giants went out and signed Logan Ryan for $6.5 million, and there are a lot of Giants fans who are saying that was their biggest and best acquisition of the season from his leadership and the solidifying of the secondary, which is good for the Giants. Couldn't we have squeezed in Logan Ryan instead of Cameron Brate? I don't know. I wanted to throw this out there, Ira. It's a little bit...
Hold on. I do think on your point there about the cornerback spot, I think the thinking from the coaching staff, Kevin Ross, cornerback coach, weighing in on this too, is Jamel Dean and Murphy Bunting showed enough towards the end of last season that they thought they would take the next step up, which Carlton Davis continues to improve. But, Lee, those guys have not taken the next step up. Dean was not playing well before he got hurt. Bunting just looks like another guy out there, a dime a dozen. And they had a lot of opportunity, and they really haven't grasped it, those two.
Last week when I did a story about pass completion percentage, and I went back to last year, and after doing that research, I can see why the Bucs. I'm not saying this was smart or dumb or whatever. I'm just saying I can see why the Bucs did not go out and get a veteran cornerback, because I want to say they were number 7 in pass completion percentage the last month of the year, or the last 6 weeks, the latter part of the year, let's put it that way. They were number seven in the league when they consistently have been in the bottom rung of the league since Chucky was fired. So I could see, like, wait a minute, we're doing this well, and these guys are rookie and second-year players. Well, they should be, you know, top shelf next year. So I can see why they didn't, when you only have so much money to spend, and they knew that they had to keep Sue and JPP, et cetera. You know, we can all play rearview mirror here on everything. But I can see why they didn't do that. So obviously it wasn't an intelligent decision, but I can see why. I can see why you can connect the dots. Like, okay, I understand. There's no need to. It'd be like, a, you know, oh, we got to go out and get another wide receiver. Oh, by the way, they did. Steve, they bet on a couple of young corners to continue to develop, and it hasn't happened to this point.
Yeah, they bet on three young corners with no competition in the mix, which that doesn't always work so well. And, you know, one has taken a step, the other two haven't. And they've got a lot on their plates now because they're going to be targeted, and that's how that goes. Ira, just sort of an aside sort of thing. You know, Leonard Fournette's a guy we all thought would come in and have a big impact. He hasn't. He still might. He did almost, you could argue, he won a game for him, or at least put away a game for him, and that means a lot. There's still four games to go. But I find it interesting that Jacksonville replaced him with an undrafted rookie free agent, a guy who's going to have about 12, maybe 1,400 yards rushing this year and is firmly in the rookie of the year conversation on offense. And they don't have a passing attack. So they enter this rookie who can catch, who can throw, and he replaces Fournette seamlessly. I'm not sure that says very much for Leonard Fournette.
That's a great point, Steve. I mean, that kid really looks good, James Robinson. Lee, I'm looking at Fournette. You're looking at Fournette, Lee. He did help them win a game and salt it away, and that was important, no question about it. But since then, very little. Lee, I don't see a player with a lot of confidence and passion. And I was worried, Lee, I was worried when they acquired him that he might pout a little if the team starts losing and he's looking up at Ronald Jones, you know, saying, why am I second fiddle when he's always been the man, whether it's college or in Jacksonville. And I don't know. I don't, Steve's right. There's four games left for Fournette to make a contribution. But Lee, I'm not overly optimistic about Fournette down the stretch.
You can't build trust if you're on the sidelines picking your nose. And so they haven't been putting him out on the field. So, you know, I can see why you lack trust, for lack of a better term. And I can understand that because, you know, you got to get on the field to earn trust. Why he's not on the field, I don't know. I really believe part of it is that apparently Ronald Jones is so fragile, his ego is so fragile that they have to pretend that he's better than he is to keep his, you know, keep him getting down in the dump. Okay, fine. You got to go to that length to build the guy's ego up, at least make sure he produces for you, which they're very quick to pull him off the field. I don't know. I saw Fournette write something on social media a couple weeks ago. It went along the lines of, you know, a younger me would be all hacked off, but I've grown and I know to keep your nose down and work hard. In other words, he's basically saying, I'm going to do my job, whatever comes, comes.
Part of the problem is when he does get his opportunities, which Lee is right, they've been very limited in scope. But Steve, you know, those drop passes, they make an impression on Brady, and most importantly, in terms of the trust factor, Leftwich, Arians, Christensen. Steve, when he does get his chances, he hasn't impressed.
Well, what I'm thinking about this, I know you're stuck on running backs catching the ball. And it just dawned on me. Why doesn't Arians get a little bit creative? Or, God forbid, Byron Leftwich? I've seen Andy Reid use Cheetah Hill as a running back catching a ball out of a backfield. You mean Antonio Brown can't do that? Or Chris Godwin?
Hey, Steve, speaking of Antonio Brown, and I'm glad Lee brought him up. Steve, I mentioned this the other day. You probably got a chuckle when you were reading it, but I was saying some of the things that the Bucs need to do down the stretch to be successful. How about throwing a damn slant pass to Antonio Brown? Steve, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't remember one. I don't remember a single one. of Brown's receptions that came off a slant pass, and he excels at it. And Brady certainly threw a lot of them in Foxborough. Can Antonio Brown get a chance on a sharp, quick hitter, and maybe he can bust it for 40 yards? That's his forte, Steve.
Ira, you'll see it if Tom Brady calls it. He's in charge. Calm down, put your seatbelt on, and relax. That's it. Hey, you know, Ira, I watched over the weekend, I watched the Patriots against the Vikings 2 years ago to see how Brady handled that defense, which was much better then. And he
people say, I don't have a life.
Well, I don't watch much college football, so you can watch these games. And
there you go.
You can watch all the offensive plays in about 23 minutes, so you're good. It doesn't take that long.
Right, with the condensed games, yeah.
Yeah. Sage, he threw two deep passes. Two. One was complete to Cordarrelle Patterson. The other one drew a flag to Josh Gordon. Everything else was short, short, medium, short, medium. Carved him up 300 yards. They won easily. That was a much better Vikings defense. Certainly a playoff caliber defense. You know, you watch that game and you just see, you know, they really should go back to that if he's that comfortable with it and he's just that precise with it.
You know what just struck me when you said those couple of sentences? You got to listen to yourself, Steve. You said Cordarrelle Patterson and Josh Gordon. And Lee, now we're talking about Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and Antonio Brown and Gronkowski. What a difference! And the fact that this offense is now struggling in the third quarter of the season, that's a real travesty. This team is healthy, and there's no reason for it. And I'll tell you what, they go three and out the first two or three series on Sunday. Those 15,000 fans, they're going to make a nice sound, and it's not going to be cheers. And who can blame them? Who can blame them at that point, Lee?
Ira, I got to warn everybody. I'm at the point where if the Bucks lose on Sunday, and I don't care how they win, I'm not looking for style points. If they lose on Sunday, I'm going to go full-blown mental. There's no reason that they should lose, given all the factors we've talked about, all the elements, and I'm just going to dive right back into the deep black water of the cesspool that is the Bucks if they can't win this game. I that's just where I'm sitting, Ira.
Steve, I agree with everything you just said. And, Lee, we pride ourselves on this podcast of not panicking, of keeping perspective. But I'm with Izbitz, and I know you are. Lee, they lose this game, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. How do you like that, DeKemper?
It wouldn't shock me, but I'm to the point where if they lose, it's going to be like, it's the Bucks. I mean, it would be so Bucks. I almost expect them to lose. I hate to say that, but my gosh, after what we've all witnessed and tolerated and been through with the post-Chucky era, it would be so Bucks.
I know what you're saying, Lee, but it might be same old Bucks in terms of their history, but everything changed in mid-March. Everything changed.
Allegedly.
When number 12 came, and the whole philosophy of the franchise, and we're going to keep these veterans, and we're going to get Gronkowski and Fournette and Antonio Brown. So, Steve, it would be a lot worse, much, much worse than past Buck failures because of the way this team's been put together.
I know. Plus, you know, 12 years of baggage and nobody can take it anymore. I don't think they're going to lose. I have some faith that the talent will win out. But, man, if they lose this game, Ira, I'm gonna break things. I'm going to scream. And I'm going to demand Jason Light and Bruce Arians issue formal apologies. There's nothing else to do.
Uh-huh.
Formal apologies. That's it. Ira, I got a nugget for you. I know you like these statistical nuggets. So it needs your wisdom. Right now, we're through 13 weeks of the NFL season. There's only one quarterback in the league who's on pace for 20 interceptions, and that's all, just 20. And he's been benched, and that's Carson Wentz. What does that say about Jameis throwing 30 when this year nobody's going to throw 20?
You know, it just makes it worse and worse. And to put it in perspective, Steve, you've already provided some really good perspective that number 30 is still shocking a year later. Shocking. Lee, with the way the rules are, and now I think 65% completions is like the league average. Lee, it used to be 55. Now it's 65. That's a big difference. And Lee, not a lot of teams get a lot of interceptions. I believe the Bucks, Steve, they might be tied for the league lead with about 14. I think that might be right. Or they're up among the league leaders with 14. So maybe they get 20, maybe they don't. But that could lead the league, 20 or 22 as a team. And so that's why that 30 was so shocking. And ultimately, Lee, that's why Winston isn't here anymore.
And maybe I'm just a weirdo. As long as you're producing, picks don't bother me. You know, there's guys in the Hall of Fame had 40 picks in a year. In the Hall of Fame. If you're producing, picks don't bother me. Now, for example, when Son of Bob was the Bucks quarterback, Brian Greasy, for those who don't know, he was throwing picks all over the place. I wanted to punch him because he wasn't producing. I know I've said it on your podcast before, Ira. I'm production. I'm Mr. Production. Production, 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 production. Production gets you out of mistakes, gets you out of predicaments, maybe gets you out of losing. Non-production sets you up for constant failure. And that's just me.
If you look over the last 10 years, the teams that consistently win, Patriots, obviously, Saints, Packers, all led by quarterbacks who don't turn the ball over. Steve, that's the common denominator. You can't pick off Rodgers unless you're Jamel Bean, you know, in week 4 or 5. But you know what I mean, Steve. Traditionally, Breeze, Rodgers, Brady, they don't throw picks. That's pretty much a common denominator.
For the record, Ira, the Buccaneers are second in the NFL with 14 picks. That leads the NFC. The Vikings, on the flip side, are tied for ninth with 11 picks. So, yeah, it's been a very good year for the Bucs as far as interceptions, which, you know, as much as we hear from coaches about turnovers, you would think the Bucs would be 10-2 right now, but that's not the case. So we got to stay focused, Ira. You're going to help me if the Bucs lose. I'm going to really need some mental help, some assistance.
Steve, and I'm with you, and I'll tell you why. Because if you haven't fixed the things that are causing you to go into this tailspin with the extra week to prepare, Steve, then what faith can Buck Nation have going forward in your final three games? That's a real, real problem. But Buck fans are going to freak out, and I wouldn't blame them, Lee.
You can't lose four in a row at home. You just can't.
Well, yeah, again, you're the Bucks. I guess the reason why I'm kind of like, not outraged, not ready to jump off the Skyway Bridge, is because ever since that Saints game, I'm like, you know what? This is the old Bucks. The Bucks are still the Bucks. And ever since then, I'm sort of in the back of my mind, am expecting a meltdown. And unfortunately, they've kind of like built the foundation for that tailspin. But ever since the Saints game, I mean, I was outraged at that Saints game. And maybe that's why I'm not, you know, wanting to punch somebody right now. Or if they lose the Vikings, not wanting to, you know, start shooting fireworks at the neighbor's dogs.
There's no question that no-show appearance against the Saints, I think it really shook up this team's confidence, as it should. But now we're a month removed, Steve. You can't be dwelling on the Saints game. You got to say, hey, maybe we'll play them again in the freaking NFC title game. I mean, that should be your mantra. Let's play them a third time. Steve, if they win the game, suppose they win 34-17. Suppose they do, which I think they should. Now they're 8-5, 93% chance of making the playoffs. And, you know, the conversation changes markedly. And, you know, they probably finish 10-6, you know, and go 3-1 in the fourth quarter. And everything's rosy going into the playoffs. So, Steve, we got to look at it that way, too.
Yeah, it's all rosy for me if they win this week. I'm like Lee said, I'm ready to punch somebody and throw the fireworks. I don't know if I would shoot them at the neighbor's dog, but maybe at a building or something, or burn some Bucks flags or that sort of thing. I'm at the edge of the plank, Ira, and I really don't want to jump off. I really don't. Sage, let me ask you this as we head out of this podcast And we want to remind everybody that our great friends at Big Storm Beer, Big Storm Beer, that's your beer for the holidays. Load up on it. As we mentioned earlier, it's a great gift to bring wherever you're going. It is just great to try all the different varieties. BigStormBrewery.com is where you can find out how to buy it in your neighborhood. You punch in your zip code. But, of course, their tap rooms are in Clearwater, in Odessa, and in Cape Coral, and you can have a fantastic meal there and sample all the beers at once, which is always fun. And Sage and I and lots of Bucks fans will be out there on December 20th, where Florida's Elite Restoration is going to buy you a beer between 12 and 1 before the Bucks play the Falcons in what's going to be a huge game after a big Vikings beatdown, allegedly. And we're going to have a lot of fun there. A little fan appreciation day, a lot of giveaways at Big Storm Clearwater. They've got a huge outdoor area, 3,000 square feet, with great sound, great viewing to watch the game. And so remember that. And, of course, our thanks to Bill Curry Ford. That's where you go, BillCurryFord.com. Personal service from General Manager Sean Sullivan. You won't get that anywhere else. And that leads to great honest deals and communication and all the stuff you want from a dealership. You're going to get that from Sean Sullivan at Bill Curry Ford. Ira, we got some interesting news on Sunday from Mike Florio, NBC Sports, ProFootballTalk.com. He put it out there that his sources, which are the highest of the high level, and obviously somebody wants him to put that out there, his sources are telling him that the NFL is going to make a deal with the players' union. And it looks good with their TV contracts and the ratings and the vaccine coming. And they're going to do what a lot of people speculated before the season, come to some sort of an agreement to keep the salary cap static for next year instead of dropping 20 or 30 million. And maybe they'll kick some money down the road just to make sure these teams are not, slashing players and pissing off fans and just upsetting what all these teams have invested so much money to build, which is continuity in their rosters. So if that's the case, if the salary cap stays static, what do you think of that for the Bucks, and what do you think of that for the league?
I think that will be the way it goes. Whatever it takes, however they can formulate a plan, because I think the other option, which is cutting the salary cap significantly, I think that's traumatic for most of the teams in this league, including the Bucks, particularly the Saints, would be in a disastrous situation. Other teams would be involved because in their long-range planning, 3 years ago, 2 years ago, they never heard of COVID-19. And with the trend of the salary cap going up every year without interruption, I think it would be close to a catastrophe. You always churn the bottom of your roster. But, Lee, this would be much more involved. Outstanding big-name players cut left and right should the salary cap go down $20 million. I don't think it's going to happen, Lee. I think there's too much of an uproar among prominent teams, prominent voices in this league. And, Lee, I know we've talked about it, about what it would mean for the Bucks. I don't think it's going to happen. I think the NFL will find a way. They will be flexible. They'll push things down the road. And, of course, they're going to get new TV contracts, and they're not going to go down going forward, Lee. So I think Florio's information is right, and I don't see a dramatic cut in the salary cap. I don't.
You touched upon the main element. You touched upon it, and I thought, and I was kind of shocked that Florio, of all people, glossed over it, the TV contracts. There's a couple of them that are going to be up within the next year or two. And if the salary cap was going to be slashed as much as people expected, it would not be good for the NFL. And in the long term, it would be horrible for the amount of money that would be left on the table with TV contracts. That would far and away surpass whatever cash the teams would lose individually on a higher salary cap, say, for 2021. But a bigger story that Florio had, Ira, I want you to touch upon. To me, it was a major story, blockbuster story. Florio comes out with an article that he said chatter in league circles is the Glazers put more of a priority on Brady returning for 2021 than they do the playoffs this year.
I think that's nuts. I think that's absolutely nuts. You know, say what you will about the Glazers, but I never believed this theory that they don't want to win. They don't care if they win. I don't buy that. Now, whether they know how to win, that's a whole other story, gentlemen. But they want to win. They are competitive people. And whether it's the Bucks or Man U, you know, they want a prominent franchise. To think that they're more worried about Brady coming back than this year, I mean, you're not promised anything next year. I mean, the injury bug could ravage this team next year. I think it's all about this year. And, you know, they're not willing to forego their fortunes in 2020 to worry about Brady in 2021. I think that story is absolutely crazy. And I think the whole focus is on this year, especially, Steve, with the Super Bowl being in Tampa. That adds another layer to it.
I think maybe the Glazers believe they can have both. You know, that, hey, we can win this year, and we there's nothing they can do at this point. They can't acquire any more players, really. They,
right.
Yeah, they have the coaches. So after they did all the acquisitions, now it's time to kiss Tom Brady's ass, and that's number one most important from the business side. I could see both happening at the same time, but, you know, the evidence says it's all about winning this year, and that's what the fans want. But, you know, it wouldn't surprise me, Ira, if they're doing everything they can behind the scenes. Priority one is making sure Brady wants to be here next year and beyond.
Well, with that extra playoff team, Lee, this year, and the fact that they're healthy, Lee, if they were all ravaged like, you know, a team like the 49ers, Lee, I think Lynch just puts his hands up. He won't say it publicly, but it's like, you know, hey, this is one of these years. You know, it's not going to happen for the 49ers. Too many people opted out on COVID and too many injuries. And, we can't do it this year. Let's rally for next year and see what happens. That's not the case with the Bucks. Lee, they're healthy. That's a big, big part of this going forward. And, Vita Vea's injury notwithstanding, Lee, other teams have lost their quarterback and their pass rusher and their running back. And, you know, they can still write a hell of a story for 2020. And I think that's what everybody's focused on. I know we are.
All right, Ira, why don't you go write a hell of a story? You've got more columns to write this week. I think you shorted us on one last week, but that's okay, Ira. I know you're deep in research.
Nothing gets past you.
I do know how to count to three, so my education didn't fail me there. But no, I know you're deep in research, Sage. You got a lot going on with the Hall of Fame. I'm sure when the Bucks start playing better, we may even add some extra podcasts as we head toward the stretch run. So, fellas, hang tough. We got another podcast this week. And get us out of here with a nugget of wisdom, if you have one, Ira, other than how much you're going to argue with the cable company in a few minutes.
All right, guys, within 3 weeks, about 3 weeks' time, early January, we're going to find out who's going to be in the room, the finalists for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, class of 2021. And I don't think we have any conjectures about John Lynch being in that room, but Rondé Barber's never been in that room. I'm trying, guys. I threw out on Twitter last week quotes from Gruden, Mike Tomlin, Rich Gannon about Rondé Barber. The voting, I believe, ends tomorrow. So then you're going to have 3 weeks when the votes are in. They'll be counted and they'll be announced. And frankly, guys, I'm a little bit tired because I get the list a few hours beforehand. And I'm a little tired of making that phone call to Rondé Barber saying, better luck next year, number 20. And Steve, you've always pointed out he's not a self-promoter. Say what you want. He is what he is. Got a lot of pride. And his point is he put it all out on film. And Lee, if he doesn't even make the 15 again for the fourth year, I think it is, in a row, that shows ultimate disrespect for this franchise. Ultimate.